people following the Father of all lies. The Father of all lies. The Father of all lies. See, there's no hiding it now in our country, in our society. The days of Satan trying to be covert appear to be over. I mean, the days of Satan trying to be covert are over. You know, the sprinkling, how the enemy works, sprinkling of a little bit of a lie and a truth. That's how he gets people off track. He doesn't mind if it's 90% truth. If he can get 10% of a lie there, then he knows that the effectiveness of that truth pretty much is gone. As an example, God will heal you, but you don't quite measure up. God would heal you. Anything that's a lie. Everything that we see going on in the government or those that are struggling, that are contrary to truth, it's because of believing a lie. Believing a lie. So those days of being covert, the enemy, it's over. As an example, if Jesus is saying the unborn are precious in his sight, Satan, the father of lies, is saying babies can be killed to full term. See, you and I would say, how could anybody ever believe that or think that was okay? It's because of swallowing a lie. And so the lie, Satan being the father of all lies, has convinced them of something that is absolutely wicked and true as being righteous, being okay, and actually being truth. If Jesus is saying, I made them male and female from the beginning, Satan is saying, you decide if you're male, female, or binary. That's based upon believing what? A lie. Who's the father of all lies? Satan. The father of lies. If Jesus preaches forgiveness, Satan preaches unforgiveness. If Jesus is saying love one another, then Satan, the father of lies, is preaching hate those you disagree with. Amen? If Jesus is saying worship God only, Satan, the father of lies, is saying worship me openly at the Grammys, as an example. See, we look at that and say, man, how could that happen? That's the power of Satan, the father of all lies. See, there's two fathers in this world. One that loves us, who walks in truth. And one, when he speaks, everything, when he opened, when, how do you know when Satan's lying? When his mouth is open? Anything he says. There is nothing that Satan speaks into this generation or tries to speak into your life or my life that is not laced with a lie. See, if he can get a lie lodged in your heart or my heart concerning something, man, he can run with it. He can run with it. See, if the world is saying, mock the Bible, if the Jesus is saying, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The power of the word, the power of the spoken word. Amen. The power of logos, this word right here in its truth. Let me just continue real quick. Revelations 3, 19 and 20. This is that church of Laodicea. Church, I'm going to read it in two different versions. So he's speaking to a church. He's speaking to some brothers in the Lord, right? So if he's talking to the church of Laodicea, he is talking to some brothers in the Lord. And he says right here, it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. You know, I used to think of rebuke and chasing different than I do now. You know, depending on how you were raised or your experiences, rebuking or chasing or discipline could mean something really harsh. It could mean something contrary to the love of God. But what I think God is doing in his church today is he's doing a little chastening. That's okay. Whom the Lord loves, amen, he chastens. He loves us. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know what I've learned for me today and in my life is him, you know, he lives in me. He sups with me. But anytime I hear that Holy Spirit, that tapping, say, I want to speak to you in an area. Lord, I hear you. I hear that knock. I hear that knock, Lord, in that area of my life. Lord, I hear what you're saying. Lord, I want to hear your voice. Sometimes as we're walking with the Lord, it can become mundane. Did you ever notice that when you're the mundane of a job, It could even be the mundane of you've been married a long time, or whatever. We can become mundane. And sometimes we don't hear this, the knock on the door of our heart. For myself, I can only speak for myself today. I'm thankful that I'm hearing the knock in every area of my life, afresh and anew, because he loves me, because he's my father, because he's saying, look, son, I don't want any lie, anything to have a place in your heart anywhere that you don't understand my love, because it's been skewed somewhere by a lie or a thought or something that's come in that I don't understand your love. See, the Revelations 3:19-20, this is what it says. Well, it says, if anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in with him and dine with him, and he with me. I like how Revelations 3:19-20 says it in the Passion Translation. All those I dearly love, I unmask and train. Unmask and train. The area of, Lord, unmask. You know, if anybody can be masked towards one another, it's men. You know what I'm saying? Do I have any men in the house? Yeah. Sometimes what you hear women talking, and they'll just, the way they talk is totally different. They can be unmasked with one another and just start saying things, you know, that you would never say. I never mention how cute anybody's shoes are. I don't mention how many cute anybody's haircut is. But sometimes with men, even in Christianity, we can have this mask of everything's just perfectly all right. And I'm not saying we don't walk in faith, or we go around, and I'll talk about that a little bit as far as how we can confess faults to one another. But sometimes, men, we can have this mask. Does anybody know what I'm talking about, or am I here by myself? Thank you, Bobby. That's right. Just don't tell me they're cute. All those I dearly love, I unmask and train. Do you know when we don't unmask, sometimes there's no training, that vulnerability with one another? And he says, so repent and be eager to pursue what is right. Behold, I am standing at the door knocking. If your heart is open to hear my voice and you open the door within, I will come into you and feast with you, and you will feast with me. This morning, are you feasting with him? I've learned as I've grown in him in maturity that even during difficult times, I can be feasting with him. Sometimes when difficult times come is when we can mask up. I gotta toughen up, grin and bear it. Maybe I was working 40 hours this week. This means now I'm going to work 60 hours. Or whatever, or I'm hurting, or a situation in my life, I'm going to go back to a habit or something that brings comfort. Or I'm going to go to church and just have that, kind of just keep to myself and grin and bear it. That's masking. Masking. You know, part of what I've learned about the love of God, we have this, right, this vertical. But unmasking and growing in the love of God, I've learned, is horizontal with one another. Amen. Love towards one another. Praying for one another. Relationships with one another. Amen. See, religion does not require relationships. It just requires that you perform. Religion doesn't require relationships. It just requires that you perform. That you perform. Relationships with men and one another require, or it feels like we're being unmasked. You know, repent is change my mind. These are things, you know. My thoughts are what my ideas of repenting were when I was younger, because of my experience had to do with, I had to be in the front of the church, and I'm not saying this is wrong, and it had to come with great tears, and it had to come with anguish, and it had to come with some kind of sacrifice on my part. But I've come to realize this, repentance is just changing my mind. I want to grow in such a way with the Lord that I am changing my mind constantly as I grow in Him. And renewing your mind in the Word of God, renewing your mind in Christ, is just a constant heart of repentance. A little tweak, a little change here. How many changes have you grown in the Lord? Maybe you've changed your mind some. That's just repentance. That's repentance. Hallelujah. So repenting, change my mind. I'm anticipating continually to change my mind, my attitude in any given area of my life. In other words, I plan to have something this morning, today. In other words, I plan to have something come into focus today that was not necessarily in focus before I came this morning. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It could be as simple as Him reminding you how much He loves you. Just as simple as Him reminding you how much He loves you. See, God loves to show up at the most unlikely of times. Pastor Freddie said something last night that was stuck with me, was that, you know, in Asbury, they were just doing what they normally do. They didn't do anything different. They didn't say all of a sudden, say, okay, guys, we're getting together. Revival's gonna break out. No, they were doing what they normally do, and God showed up on the scene. It's a reminder to me that we can't create a revival. We can, and that's when the weird in the flesh manifest, because we feel like we got to make something happen. That when we're pursuing Him, He's the one that shows up, or He's already here living in us anyway. He's the one that shows up in the suddenlies. It's you never know when all of a sudden God can show up and change the atmosphere, where you can say, man, it was no different than this last meeting or this last gathering or us getting together. But all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed and God did something suddenly. God loves to show up in the most unlikely of times. It does not matter what you have been through, going through, or will go through. Jesus loves to show up at the most unlikely of times. The suddenlies. The suddenlies. How about you guys? I'm always ready for a suddenly. I'm always ready for a suddenly. You know, Jesus showed up. Let me just say about this, about where people are at. Jesus showed up at the most desperate of times. The desperate times. See, we can't have this heart that you'll hear people saying, it's too late. It's too late for this generation. It's too late for children or my children. It's too late for this or that. Well, Jesus showed up in the most desperate of times. Isaiah 53, 1 and 2 gives us the clue right here. Who has believed our report? Isaiah 53, 1 and 2. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He showed up at a very dry time. There had been no move of God for a long, long time. Even people were waiting for a revival, the showing up of the Messiah, but it didn't show up the way that they thought it should, so they missed out completely, most of them, on the power, the love, the life-transforming power of the Messiah, because they were looking at a different direction. Like they said, they were looking for it to happen differently than what it did. And it was at the most inopportune time, it would seem, a dry ground. You know, dry ground means hard ground. It's hard for seed to come out of hard ground, isn't it? And it is. It's hard. But that's what Jesus showed up. He was a tender shoot that came out of hard ground. That means also unwatered ground. Man, there's no Spirit of God flowing at that time out of unwatered ground, like ground where no seed can produce life, barren ground. It was cursed ground, it seemed like. And at that time, Jesus, like a tender shoot, pops forward His life out of dry ground. You know what I'm looking forward to and being a part of God through me and you, like a tender shoot popping up in the giftings and callings of God, out of a time where it seems like the ground is totally hard. It seems like the ground is totally cursed. it seems like there's no life in so many areas that we look at or read about. But that's when God, like a tender shoot in our lives, pops out of the impossible. A tender shoot shouldn't be coming out of dry ground or hard ground. That seems impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so I pray that every area that might even be in your heart that seems like dry ground or seems like hard ground because of things that might have happened in your life, and that area can become hard. It can become calloused. It can become jaded. It can become to where now you're kind of not even believing for God in an area of your life. I pray that today in that area of your heart that a tender shoot would pop out of the impossible. Would pop out of the impossible. And out of that, a new desire for the things of God. A new desire for purpose. God loves to show up and bring life in the most dry, hard areas of society, of an individual's life, an individual family, and produce life. Life abundantly. Malachi 4:4-6. I want to read this, but I want to explain it in a little different way. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with his statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest they come and strike the earth with a curse. Like where he says, remember Moses. Now, I look at this, remember Moses. When I read that, this is what I feel like God's saying. Remember Moses, because Moses is the one that said that one will come like me that you must follow. Luke 24:27 said, remember on the road of Emmaus, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures that the things concerning him. So when it says, remember the law of Moses, this is how I take it. Remember the law of Moses, that in that law, I said that the Messiah would be coming. And he would turn the hearts of the fathers towards the children, and the children towards the Father. And I'm thankful for this day and age where God moving, what he does is he restores hearts, he restores families, he says, I will turn the hearts of the Father towards the children, and the children towards the Father. You know how we could know when God's doing great and mighty things in our land is no different now than what he was speaking right here, when God starts turning fathers and children's heart towards one another. Amen. Amen and amen. A few more scriptures real quick. Luke 1:76-80. Now we're talking about John the Baptist coming in the power of who? Elijah. And it says, he's talking about John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Couple things. What John the Baptist did, these are things that continue today because of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. Hallelujah. 2, forgiveness through God's tender mercies. You know, you and I, to walk and to mature in Christ, we are constantly have to be reminded of his tender mercies. God's Spirit moving today, what we saw in Asbury, what we see in anybody's life change, is this understanding his tender mercies. His tender mercies towards you and me. Amen. Last few things I want to read here, I want to have a time of prayer. James 5:16-18. It says to confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. But you know, I used to think, and I'm going to give it, I used to think that, I remember one time when I was younger, I sat around inside the circle of about 50 or 60 men. And I unloaded all my dirty laundry. I mean, all my dirty laundry. And guess what? It didn't help me one iota. You know why it didn't help me? Looking back now, I didn't know the love of God. I can confess all my dirty laundry all I want, but if I don't know or realize or have a revelation of the love of God, it will not matter. I could do that once a week, be surrounded by men and say, here's my week's dirty laundry list. But if I don't understand his love, it will not matter a bit. See, in that confess your trespasses to one another. Again, if you read above that, the chapter 2 above that in the context, here's the context. As a matter of fact, the Passion Translation has the context. James 5:16 in the Passion Translation says this: confess and acknowledge how you have offended one another. And then pray for one another to be instantly healed. For tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Where I used to think that was, let's just confess all our faults. What he was saying here, guys, if you read through that whole thing, he says, man, any ought, any resentments you have towards one another, any looking at people and making judgments of who they are in Christ based upon the way they're dressed or what they do or don't do for a living, he says, that's the problem here. That's not the royal law of love. And so in this context, what it is, he says, guys, man, don't have any resentments. Don't have any unforgivenesses. Anything that blocks you receiving the love of God or understanding God's love. So one thing is God, when God comes in his power and does a work in a body of believers, I can tell you one of the very first things that happens is forgiveness flows. Areas where we have resentments towards other people, those things begin to melt in the love and the light of God. Amen. Are you still out there? James and a few more scriptures regarding Elijah, because we have a lot of little Elijahs here. A lot of little Elijahs. I'm going to prove it scripturally. James 5:17-18 says, Elijah, so this is James, he's talking about this repentance with towards one another. And he continues, says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Like ours? And that couldn't have been like mine, because he didn't know how bad of a guy I was. But no, he says, a nature like ours. He needed God in every area of his life. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Dry area. It produced fruit. Here's the thing, Elijah was only prayed what God had told him. Sometimes we'll read a couple more scriptures, we'll think, man, Elijah was so powerful. And he says, we'll see what he says. He says, I said it's not going to rain until I say. Well, was it really because of what he said? Was it really because of what he said? Let's continue. 1 Kings 17:1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. So he's saying, it's not going to rain again until I say. Okay. Let me continue. 1 Kings 18:1 then. This is what God said. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. God said that. You know, I started thinking about it. He says, I said it's not going to rain until I say. He was talking to Ahab. But he knew it was going to be God that was going to tell him what's going to be to reign. And what I started realizing is we start declaring the word of God, who I am in Christ, I can say I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because that's what God said. I can say, God, that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can speak that in boldness because that is what God said. So all Elijah was doing is mimicking what he heard his father say. And for you and I, as we're talking about little Elijah's walking in the truth and the power of God, the things that we declare and speak, praying over the sick, praying for those who need help, asking for God's finances in our life, we're only declaring those things, not in being somebody who's full of pride, whatever. We're just declaring exactly what the word says, that I am. Elijah says, it's not going to rain until I say. But the fact of the matter was, is as soon as God said, it's going to rain, that's when it rained. And so the love of God, the power of God, the things that God has given us, the promises of God, we declare those things because those things are spoken over our life. So when we're having struggles in our families, I start declaring the promises of God. I start declaring, me and my household shall be saved, because I'm just mimicking what the Word of God says, declaring the truth of God. And so when I start praying over this generation, amen, Father, breaking the lies of the enemy. We know what the father of lies stands for, but Father, we start breaking those things and declaring the truth of the Word of God, because that's what God says. And if there's any area where the only way the enemy can get you and I down is if we listen to any of the lies of the father of lies. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to have a heart that says, Lord, every area of my life, I want to believe my father and the truths of the word of God. So many people, the enemy will lie to them. So the promise of God, they'll say, well, it's not for today, or it won't work for me. Those are believing the lies of the father of lies. But speaking the truth out of the dry ground in areas of people in this nation and the young people, Lord, we declare that a shoot will come out of dry ground, Jesus Christ, and save and sweep in a generation of young people into the kingdom of God. That is the truth, because that's what the Lord, the Word of God, declares. The enemy says, don't pray for them. It can't happen. The enemy for you and I would like to have, or why pray? I prayed for a long time. It's not going to happen. I hate to tell you, but that's believing the father of lies. How many times did Elijah during his time frame wish it would rain? Do you think Elijah enjoyed that it did not rain for 3.5 years? He couldn't wait to hear the father say, it's time for rain. It's time for rain. And then he came back to Ahab and said, I told you when I said it's going to rain. But in truth, the matter of fact is, he was just listening to his father. Listening to his father regarding his life, regarding our children's life. See, the thing is we all have weaknesses in the flesh. But what was Elijah was listening, the voice of his father. For you and I in this day and hour is to listen to the voice of the father. See, the voice of the enemy says, give up, give in. The voice of the enemy says, oh, that's not going to work anymore. Oh, the voice of the enemy wants you to be discouraged in any area of the lie. That is the father of lies. But my father who speaks truth, my father who said the truth shall set you free, you shall believe the truth, amen. My father who brought grace and truth, that's what I'm going to walk in. And so what I believe in this day and this hour is we begin to declare and pray afresh and anew. Lord Jesus, again, thank you for sending the rain. Thank you for sending the rain in my family. Can we stand up together real quick? Lord, we pray for a minute. Take time and say, Lord, I thank you for sending the rain. See, I believe that the word of God, like if Elijah was weak or just a man, just like you and I. But what made him different than his generation, he says, I believe the voice of God. I believe what he says. You and I have in the Bible and all the promises to declare. and say, I will not believe the voice of the enemy. We thank you, Jesus, that this generation, amen, will come to know Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for those things pertaining to myself, Lord, my family. We thank you for our shoot coming out of dry ground in impossible situations, because we declare and speak the word of God, the truth of God. We acknowledge and we line up with the Father of our hearts and souls, Jesus Christ, and we rebuke the lies, the father of lies. Thank you, Father, for a generation it seems impossible that they could come to you. But Lord, we thank you that out of the dry ground comes a shoot. Out of the dry ground comes a shoot. Lord, we thank you in our hearts, areas in our hearts that may be dry, that may seem impossible. We thank you for life coming from them, Father. We thank you for life springing up in those areas by the anointing, by the power, by the promises of God that are yes and amen. The promises of God that are yes and amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the promises of God that are yes and amen. What I'd like to do, if you don't mind today, is if there's somebody on the left or right, if you could just pray for one another. And what do you, how do you do? This is easy. You just pray life over them. You declare the promises of God over their lives. You declare God doing a new beginning. He says, I'm doing a new thing. Do you perceive it? Do you see it coming? Do you understand it? Do you believe it? And I say, yes, Lord, I believe it. I believe life is coming out of hopeless, dry areas in new life. So we could take a minute. Pray with the person next to you. Just pray for one another. Bless them. This is what it is. Bless them. Your person left, bless them in Jesus' name. You just bless them and declare life in Jesus' name. We bless them in Jesus' name. We bless them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Friend, thank you. Bless them in Jesus' name. Strength, health, blessed marriages, a blessed home, peace, love, strength, newness of life. Lord, we bless you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the blessings of God that are yes and amen. Lord, we speak life and blessing over one another in Jesus' name. Thank you for blessing my brother's strength. Thank you for thank you for blessing his children. Thank you for blessing his ministry. Thank you for blessing his finances, Father. Thank you for continuing to reveal your goodness and your grace in his life, Father. Thank you for continuing to mature him into the man of God that you have for him. We thank you and I bless you, God. Praise you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. 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 Thank you, Father. worship you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your victory is our victory in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that your victory is our victory in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. That is the kingdom of God. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that the victory is ours. Amen. Thank you that you have washed our sins away. Thank you that you filled us with the Holy Spirit, Father God. Thank you for healed bodies, Father God. Thank you for blessed relationships, Father. We declare the word of God. We declare the promises of God, Father God. In Jesus' name, we declare them, Father God, because your Spirit lives in us, and we've decided to speak truth and negate the lies of the enemy. Father, we thank you that the father of all lies is a defeated foe in Jesus. He's a defeated foe. That's the truth. He's a defeated foe. And we thank you, Lord, that you're alive in us, Father God, that you have destroyed, you have conquered all principalities and powers, Lord. And that you're working mightily in us and through us, Father God. So, Lord, with great joy, we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the truth, being led by the truth. And we reject the lies of today's society. We reject the lies, Father God, of performance and say, thank you, Jesus, that your righteousness is helping me to mature and that what I believe I will begin to walk out as I declare the truth of the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for every struggle in our lives, those things, those secret things, Father. I thank you for breaking those over our lives. Father, as we start to declare that I am free in Jesus' name, as we begin to reject the lie of the enemy that says, you'll never be free from this. Now, I reject that lie, and I shall be free in the name of Jesus, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so, Lord, we believe the truth, and we reject the father of lies. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, all of God's men said, yes and amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you for joy. We thank you for joy in areas of our heart where there hasn't maybe been joy in a long time. Times of refreshing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. We thank you for that today. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. So what we'll do is we'll take like a 5 or 10 minute bathroom break. I was going to say potty break, but